In 1492, you came up on the shore. 700 years educated by the Moors. 17th century, genocide and the gun. Little passage blessed to market the Africans in the so-called land of God. My kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see and you agree, we have been a misrepresented people. From back then until now, just see my family tree, we have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people.
Sound effects, in case you didn't catch that. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. And yes, you've got me live and in living color, so to speak. And my name is Daryl Clark. And as always, I'm here for you. And basically, that's the long and short of it. I'm here to bring you news and information called from around the world, news you're not going to hear typically on your mainstream media, whether it's the newspaper or radio, or, of course, the boob tube. And today is no exception. And I'm really excited today about our program because there's no warming up with this particular program and guest, because we're going to pick up where we left off last week. So hold on, buckle up, because we're getting ready to get all the way live. As a certain group from the 70s, you know, put out, whatever happened to the good old 70s music? Oh, that's right. By design, they decided it was too progressive, too enlightening, too encouraging, too much grounding involved with it. And when I say grounding, I didn't say grinding. I meant grounding, and in terms of grounding our people, white, black, green, yellow, and in between. So they had to come out with something that would just throw us off to a tilt. You know, remember the pinball machines? You shake it too much and eventually it just shuts off. And that's what's going on with us now. And that's why I thought that introductory bumper tune, and I'm sure you recognize the voice of the incomparable Stevie Wonder. And that's not one of his more well-known tunes. I wonder why. Like my man Arsenio would say, makes you go, Of course, I have utmost respect for Stevie because he's an artist. See, a complete artist is one that encompasses all that is available to him or her. Not these too often, and I'm not saying across the board, but too often wannabe artists that basically are political. A lot of them artists are perpetrating right now to be, you know, serious artists with conviction related to what's going on. And we all know Harry Belafonte called out, for example, Jay-Z and his wife, Beyonce, for not doing enough, for not being grounded in their music. And Jay-Z pushed back with that one statement, which I will continue to repeat because he needs to be put on blast. And don't misunderstand me. I'd love to have him on. We can talk. We don't have to agree to be able to have some common sense dialogue, at least not from my perspective. But Jay-Z made the statement, the mere fact that something, and don't quote me on this one, to the effect of, and I'll have to get the exact quote, my presence is me giving back. So, you know, and that's the way, you know, I read it in quotation marks, but those aren't the exact words. So what are we left with here now in terms of our listening? I would say pleasure, displeasure is more accurate. Too much garbage. Now, speaking of Arsenio, shout out to Arsenio. Though Arsenio, I was a little bit disappointed in one of your first guests. I mean, Snoop Dogg, Arsenio? Really? And I'm not saying he's not talented. Brother's got good rhythm. But Arsenio, just a guy I went to school with, you know, walked the halls with. I mean, we didn't go to the school throughout, but I've walked in the same hallways as Arsenio. He didn't live too far from me. He's a Cleveland boy, like myself. And, you know, I've always followed him and admired him for, you know, his personal rigor and self-esteem. But that one threw me. And then he came back the very next day with Ice-T. So I'm going to have to reach out to my man and, you know, see where he's coming from. And, like, he's going to, you know, accept my call, right? Daryl? Oh, that's Daryl Clark. Oh, wait a minute. Stop everything. Put him on the line. You never know. I always say, you never give up. Nothing beats a snowball but a no-ball. So I will be reaching out to the brother, and you know, hopefully he'll come on, join us, and let us know where he's coming from. I thought sure he would have come on with something a little bit more contemporary to his day and time. So Arsenio, man, get, it's cool. I know you want to relate and get the audience, listen to the audience, the younger crowd, and where the numbers are, because clearly that's where the numbers are. But stay true to yourself, bro. You know, maybe you got somebody in your entourage that just happens to tune into Progressive News, and maybe they'll pull your coattail on this. But look, bro, keep it real. Ice-T and Snoop Dogg, your first musical guest. Arsenio, that's not you, dude. It's not you. Keep it real. Now that I've, you know, insulted my man and probably ruined every chance of getting him on. If he's real, that won't even be an issue. So, with that said, back to where I was headed with all of that, talking about, you know, our artists and those who are grounded versus not grounded, and Stevie Wonder, and how truly he's an artist. That tune, coming back to it, Misrepresented People, folks, you got to check that one out. That's one of his, from the perspective of the listeners, sleepers. Let me give you a few of the lyrics. It starts out with, in 1492, you came upon these shores, 700 years, educated by the Moors. 17th century, genocide and the gun, Middle Passage blessed to market the Africans. He actually says Africans. You know, he's a lyricist. In the so-called land of God, my kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see and you agree. We have been a misrepresented people. And he just goes on, and you got to dig these lyrics. I mean, you know, the lyrics now is, you know, the man. Who's the man? Can you get a little deeper for me, brothers and sisters? So let's just keep this real. And I just thought those lyrics were so apropos for our guest today, who's going to be joining me throughout the segment. As I said, we don't have to warm up anybody with this one. He's going to pick up right where he left off last week, you know, just talking about what's happening in our society. By the way, shout out to Zimmerman. You know, may you continue to be exposed in all ways possible. You know, his old lady is now revealing, but she stuck with him through the trial, because don't think she wasn't, you know, kicking his, well, this is a family program, so you know what I'm saying, along the way, because she knew he was a madman, and she was kind enough while he was going through the trial to not expose his butt, but she's coming real all the way live now, and, you know, the latest was, of course, he's using brute force on her. It's all coming out, as I like to say, in the wash, and it always will. So Zimmerman, it's just a matter of time, dude, before you implode. Okay, let's just know that. Just because you had a few societal folks, and our guest is going to speak on some of that, not specifically because we ain't giving him, you know, any more time than he deserves, which is about that much of a flatulence. So enough of that, but I just thought I'd mention in case anyone didn't hear about it. You know, he's getting ready to go on trial for domestic violence. And he beating a woman. You don't think he'd shoot a black man in the chest? Okay. So anyway, what else is going on that we can give it the real spin that it deserves? Well, Obama, you know, is saying we need to do this, folks. You know, how is it that we can allow these people over here to be abused with gas and stand by? You know, that's been our heritage to step in. Wrong. I can't wait till our guest speaks on that one. No, the heritage has been that by the time it hits the media, it looks like you're stepping in. But far prior to that, you've been manipulating up to the point where it evolved to what it usually has become of a serious skirmish. So just keeping it real. And then, of course, last but not least, before we go to our esteemed guest, we just had 911 yesterday. I'm really warming our guest up on this because, boy, oh boy, that's one of his hot buttons, and I know it is because he's done a lot of research on it. Well, let me just turn this over to our listening audience, you, the reason for which I am here. And as always, I'm encouraging you to get involved because that's what this program's about. It's about enlightenment, encouragement, empowerment, and hopefully some motivation to get you to act, to not sit and listen and have a emotional transition. It's about putting some feet on the ground. So hopefully, and I'm sure he will, our guest will help you to do that, at least give you all the tools. And then it's going to be up to you to utilize those tools and put them in action. So who am I talking about, you might ask? Well, if you are on the mail list, you'd know. Send me an email. Daryl_CLA@MSN.com. That's DARRYL_CLA18@MSN.com. I'm especially speaking out to my homies out in Cleveland because you know I've been checking my numbers and your numbers are down. So get up off your family show and start tuning in because you know we made that pledge back in high school. We would all stick together. So, with that said, I'm going to introduce our guest in about 30 seconds, maybe 50 seconds. And what I'm saying is, I'm just gonna play a little bit of that tune that opened us up with, because you know what? It means so much. It if you just listen to it, you know, you'll get the message. No question about it. So on the other side of this tune, we're going to bring Mr. Ron Crenshaw. Stay tuned.
In 1492, you came up on the shore. 700 years educated by the Moors. 17th century, genocide and the gun. Middle Passage blessed to market the Africans in the so-called land of God. My kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see in you agree. We have been a misrepresented people. From back then until now, just see my family tree. We have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people. Save the land.
We have been a misrepresented people. Ron Crenshaw, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. You've got the floor for the better part of this hour. I'm just thrilled, man, to have you back, and I mean that sincerely, because you laid it down last week, and you didn't pull any punches, as you never do. But I just thought I would get you nice and warmed up with Stevie's, you know, tune, because you know everything he said was truly on point, as I know you would attest to.
Yes, I would.
You know, it's just. You know, the lyrics are just so on point. Misrepresented people.
Right.
And the thing is that you talk about so articulately and descriptively is it's not a black thing. We just happen to be in this place at this time feeling, you know, that particular need for
right.
bigotry.
That's right.
But were it not us, it would be someone else.
Exactly.
So much going on, Ron, so much. In the news, we know, we see Obama is trying to push his agenda, which is really not his agenda.
Right.
But that's why he's there, to push his agenda.
Right.
See, I learned well.
Right.
You talk
right.
very well.
Right. Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate your, you know, having me on. Very much. Yes, and we do have a lot of things going on, and, you know, you can't extract it from the media. The mainstream media has a concern of what the ruling elites want to be, and that ties them together, and, you know, their program is to keep us unknowing. And that, you know, keeps going on and on because, you know, we live in a, we live in a wage slave society. That's the best way to put it, a wage slave society, because you have to have a job in order to prosper. So So that's the thing. I mean, in other words, the reason we can say it that way is because there should be no private ownership of production, because everyone lends a hand in the ability to produce and reproduce goods and services. It requires everyone to be a part of that process. And there shouldn't be some one person over it after, you know, it's developed. And you know, for instance, I don't want to stay on this long, but for instance, we had the satellite TV so that we could get things from Europe to the United States via television. And that was developed by taxpayer money. And then when the Defense Department developed it, they handed it outright to AT&T. Our money did the research and development for it to come about, and then it gets handed into the hands of AT&T, which is primarily owned by the Morgan family. There's others, in, you know, have shares in it, of course, but the overriding ownership is the Morgan family. And we find that everywhere else. With all large corporations, there's a well-to-do family behind it, Rockefeller, DuPont.
The Gettys and the Newbergs. So that wasn't anything.
Buffett.
All this is nothing new, in other words. This has been since the beginning.
Right. You see, and we have Monopoly. Once Monopoly got on its feet, that was it. And the first billion-dollar corporation, 1890, is the steel industry. And that was Carnegie. And who had the money to buy that from Carnegie was the Morgans. The Morgans could buy his big billion-dollar corporation outright, was the Morgans. So, you know, I mean, this is history. And Rockefeller got big because of the automotive industry and mechanization in and of itself, because oil is used in all aspects of machinery, you know, to keep it lubricated and to keep the car engine lubricated and all of that. And the gasoline that runs it, which is an extract of the oil that's used for lubrication. So it's fracked accordingly. That means that it's the pure oil comes out of the ground, and then it's heated. And according to the temperature, it falls on different levels of refinement. The most refined is the lightest type, and the heavy is the darkest type. So you have the kerosene in there, and, you know, the fuel cars go by. But anyway, I'm just saying that to say that everybody shares in building a society. And everybody, since everybody shares in building the society, then the society should be common to all people. And no one has to be rich. Because
I'm gonna have
if
to,
no one is rich.
On one of our programs, bring someone in. I mean, I can be devil and will be devil's advocate. Be, you know, I can do that.
Sure.
And say, well, on the other hand, Ron,
yes.
You know, if an individual was the cornerstone of a given industry, such
right.
as Carnegie, and,
right.
and did the improvisation
yes.
of that industry, why shouldn't he be rewarded above those who would just basically ride on the work that he's done or she's done?
Okay, that's a good point you're making, an excellent point. Now let me show you a comparison to that. Comparison to that is when a baby is born, it needs the nurture and devoted attention by its parents, or else it won't survive. So a society is the same way. In order to have a Carnegie, the society has to have a certain amount of development in itself, meaning all the people in that society has to do a little something to make that society be viable. You see what I mean? So just as a baby needs its parents to nurture it and bring it forth, it doesn't do it on its own. Everyone is beholden to each other. You see, in other words, if there was no society that was involved in making things, advancing things and ideas, there wouldn't be a Carnegie. You see, so I mean, he is the result of something in the society itself that is not unique to him, but gives him the ability to create something unique. So no matter how much we genius an individual is, he's come from a society that initially nurtured him to be what he is today. Am I clear or am I vague on that?
I understand what you just said. Well, okay, that and it was,
I mean,
as
you
I
know,
said
the
in the beginning, well articulated. Well articulated. You're stating, if I can give you some feedback to ensure that, you know, we're saying the same things and we're communicating for our listening audience, because I want them to stay with us, so at any given point in time, they can join in this dialogue, because that's important for what we're doing here. The number is 347-838-9142. It's 347-838-9142. And what we're talking about is basically sharing of wealth and resources versus the few harboring the vast majority of the resources, and by, you know, some perspectives, providing a means for those who have not been the creative force behind development to sustain.
Right.
How about that one, Ron?
That's right. That's correct. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so if that's correct.
I couldn't have graduated high school unless I had a good foundation from my home. I would have dropped out, you know, if my parents couldn't provide me with a certain nourishment and a certain amount of ability to wear clothes and wear them before they wear out and things of that sort, I couldn't have done it. You see, so, I mean, everyone is connected to everyone else. That makes a society, and that makes you. That's the way human beings are. We live together. We are social beings, and it's a matter that when people are denied, that's when contradictions start to come about, and hostility comes about, because we're not sharing where we're into taking advantage of, and that's where the profit system lies. Profit comes from labor, so labor creates wealth. That's something very simplistic, extremely simplistic.
What about the entertainment industry?
Yes.
I mean, they are the ones that are up there, you know, singing, and whoever's producing them are the ones that are bringing that music or song to the masses, so they don't deserve for all of their work to produce and write this wonderful thing we call music. They shouldn't be rewarded for that?
Of course they should be. Sure, everyone should be rewarded for whatever. If he digs a ditch, he is doing a service for the society by digging a ditch. You see, it's as important to dig a ditch as it is to be a brain surgeon. You see, because that's our talent. That's what we do. Everyone has his gift. And whether it's a menial job or not, people who are on a level that can do abstract things are welcomed. But, I mean, they wouldn't be able to do abstract things if the basics weren't there for them to be nourished, to grow up to be that type of person. I mean, everything, you know, comes from a level beneath it. And all levels are necessary in society and should be treated in that manner, that we all make contributions according to our talents. And there's an old saying that says, to each according to his means, to each according to his ability. So we all have, we're all parts of the puzzle, all of us.
But see, that saying sounds to me, when you say to each his ability,
right,
and his means, well, but the ability
right.
piece, if someone's ability to create innovative products
things. Right.
or services,
right.
And then there's another person who doesn't have that ability to advance society through those innovative thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Is not one contributing more to the society than the other?
Well,
therefore
one
should be
cannot
rewarded.
Do, see, the thing
as
is,
you
one
say.
Cannot do without the other. See, that's the dialectic that's going on there. One could not do without the one who is the other. You see, in other words, everybody is performing a certain function. If I'm cleaning up garbage, I'm doing a function to enable the society to continue its motion forward. If the garbage was just left there, people would take on various diseases because of the filth and the rotting and stuff of that sort. So to dig a ditch means you're digging a ditch for a purpose to better the society you're living in. So everyone is making a contribution. See, this comes along when certain people are allowed to have wealth while others are not. That's when you get this antagonism, which is called a class antagonism. Because some
but if a
are
person
allowed.
Has to, if a person has to go to school for 8 years to become a brain surgeon, that person doesn't deserve to be rewarded financially more than someone who is digging
not
a ditch.
Really.
Something
no,
that
really.
That's anyone could do who is
no.
physically able.
No, no, no. We gotta stop looking at things in that way. Because, see, everybody is making a contribution. I mean, there couldn't be the doctor eventually happening if the society was in disarray. You see, in other words, you don't become, it's like Japan was the first Oriental in our epoch. Japan is the first Oriental country that industrializes. Therefore, it took the information it got from Europeans coming into the country, making them aware of things, and they caught on very rapidly and produced things industrializing themselves very rapidly because they were not overtaken, invaded, and subjugated. Whereas they immediately tried to subjugate China and Korea. And look also, Europe started to get on its feet first through, as in the song, as what the Moors brought to Spain and Portugal. And then Marco Polo goes to China, and he gets, what, movable type for printing. And various other resources, he gets the idea of paper money. I mean, that's cultural infusion. So one learns things from another. And also, the Moors brought maps to show the Spanish, the Italians, how to get to the New World. You see, so I mean, it's all about being connected to others. You see, because we're one species. We're not a whole lot of different species. We're one species. We just have different phenotypes. We look differently. I mean, look at all the variations of a dog. There's numerous variations of a dog, but they're all dogs. And they all bark in common. You see, whereas a wolf doesn't bark. He howls. So you know that he's not one of the dogs. He's a wolf. So, I mean, there's distinctions. And as humans are, we have to try to develop a way to discard our savage inclinations, because that's what war is, a savage inclination.
That's true.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Because we could
solve
things by sitting down and talking and realizing what is really how we, you know, find a way to come out of our, you know, contentions. You know, that's what we have to struggle for.
Well, you know, speaking of that savage peace, that comes back at full circle. And again, the dialogue we're having is just to simply highlight some of the curiosity that I'm sure exists in the listening audience, to give them a broader perspective of the issues and the insight that you're bringing, because they may have thought those things that I was asking, but would not have called in to hear how that would have been addressed. Now, when you start talking about war, now you're talking about a whole different power struggle, it seems.
Right.
Or is it the same power struggle as the economic power struggle?
Well, basically, war comes out of an economic struggle, you see, because you want something and you don't want to share it. See, you want something and you don't want to share it. So therefore, you want to be able to claim it for yourself, because you feel like you won't get the share that you want if someone else is there taking part of it. See, so that's what leads to the wars. It's basically wars come out of economics. And that's why a system like capitalism, which is an economic system, but it also is politics, because the politics of it has to keep people in place so that it can be viable to move forward. Because if there was no politics, then capitalism would just disintegrate. But the politics is the thing that keeps it in place, because it forms the military to keep it in place. See, the U.S. started out as a slave society. That's how it started. The indentured servitude. The indentured servitude.
They don't teach that enough.
No, they don't. The indentured servitude was slavery. And indentured servitude was being used against Europeans as well as blacks. But the Europeans and black labor were uniting and giving trouble to the ruling elites. So they had to come up with an idea of how to separate them. So they took the African, put him in chattel, and made the European worker his policeman. See, the authority over him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets better treatment, but his better treatment is only in relationship to the African, not to the ruling elites.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So
yeah.
Europeans think that, you know, they are superior, but they're not superior to the ruling elites, because the ruling elites oppress them. And they don't see it, because they're looking at how, the African is worse off than me, so I must be important. Well, yeah, you're important because you don't understand that uniting with Africans, you could make a better society. So, you know, that goes by the wayside.
Why do you think it's a better
society? It's an ongoing struggle.
Why do you think it's
an ongoing struggle to get people to understand what we're living in and how brutal it is?
But I want to back up what you said about a better society. Tying in with the Africans.
Yes.
How is that?
As I said before, we're one species, right? So if we're one species, there's no phenotype that is superior to another phenotype. And
okay.
What I mean by the phenotype is the so-called African race or the European race. See, that race is all a myth. You see, that's a myth. That's to, you know, have you to believe that because a person is a certain way, looks a certain way, that he's maybe lesser than you because of how he looks or because his culture is not the same as yours, you see. So we get that, you know, we ingrain ourselves with that, you know, because there's a lot of philosophers that come on the scene and preach this garbage. You see, and I mentioned before, three of them, House and Stuart Chamberlain, then there's Arthur Gobineau, and there's the other one who's American, Carlton Coon, who's an American anthropologist that spewed this venom, you see. So we have to get away from that because all that stuff was to maintain the oppression of capitalism, capitalist oppression.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you find more blacks in jail than you do any other group, and that's because they're part of the army of workers who are not needed. See? If there could be 100% employment, you wouldn't have to have as many people in jail. And if you were in a socialist society, I'm sure it would drop substantially because people would be working in harmony. There wouldn't be certain people making millions a year and others barely making just $7.25 an hour. You see, that's poverty. That's dire poverty. See? And you expect them to live up to a person who's making, you know, $100,000 a year. You see, I mean, the disparity is so great there. And the cost of living, you have to factor that in. $2.50 to board a bus or train. That's hard for a person making $7.25 an hour. And a lot of the jobs now are not even full-time, not even 40 hours. A lot of them are part-time jobs. I mean, it's just the lopsidedness. And, I mean, when they had the collapse, the CEOs were leaving the bankrupt companies with $200 million in their pockets. The company is bankrupt and they're leaving the company with $200 million in their pocket. Fantastic. And the banks collapse and they, instead of when they take taxpayers' money to prop up the banks with the bailouts, they still have their ownership that was supposed to be nationalized so that the taxpayers own those banks. But that didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Because who's running the government is the bosses of the big banks. You see what I'm saying?
Of course I do. It only makes
sense
to me.
Now we have the sequester. We have the sequester to help pay for the bailouts. I mean, that's horrendous.
It is horrendous. It is horrendous, and I guess on top of everything, and I just wanted you to have complete air of this issue from the perspective that you bring, and I had to fight back from interrupting, because I think it's very important that, you know, you express this perspective because you don't hear it otherwise, and then you'll hear, you know, so-called liberal news, Fox,
yes.
Fox, but MSNBC,
right. Yes.
And they wouldn't dare touch some of this conversation. So it's not, there is no media that's going to bring anything close to this perspective. Because quite frankly, and you're not ashamed to say, they're deeming it as socialism.
right.
or communism, which,
right,
well,
exactly.
maybe there's anything necessarily wrong with that.
Right.
When you're talking about equal distribution of wealth, which is what you're talking
right.
about, Ron.
Exactly.
As I said, you make no secret of it. And that's why I wanted to, you know, play that devil's advocate role for the listeners out there who say, well, he's talking about socialism. And your point is, doesn't mean you're a traitor or you don't love your country. I heard you last week. Boy, you really got yourself kind of worked up, because I heard you lead right up into, you know, don't tell me I don't love my country, because
right.
I'm exposing something that's harmful.
That's
because
right.
there's another person who has billions of dollars. Did I say billions with a B? I sure did. Billions
right,
of dollars
true.
Who's able
that's
to
true.
Influence the masses to think one way, and therefore you feel because the masses are leaning in one direction that that must be the right direction without any consideration that there are billions. Did I say billions with a B? I sure did. Of
that's
dollars
right.
are being used to influence that perspective. And until we open our minds up, truly open our minds up, and, you know, get our heads out of, it's a family show, you know, the sand.
Right.
We're gonna continue to be droned along.
That's right.
We are. And I know that there are those that say, well, it is what it is. You have to live within that.
Right. And another thing, this is diverging off of what the line we've been talking about, but think about the chemical weapons that Obama has brought forth about Syria. Now, if we go back just shortly back, we see in Vietnam, we see jelly napalm being used on Vietnamese people. That's a chemical. And then we see Agent Orange being used in Vietnam. It even kicks back to some of the soldiers had to go through some of that stuff. And they died. A lot of them were dying from cancer once they came home because of the Agent Orange, which was chemical weapons. We march forward and we get to the war in Serbia and the war in Iraq, and we have depleted uranium being used by the U.S. military because the depleted uranium is put into the shell of a tank, and when they fire it, it goes through steel like a hot knife going through butter, but it gives off that uranium stuff, which still has a long half-life, and poison our own soldiers. They came back with, a sickness that deformed their children because of that depleted uranium. So, I mean, the United States is talking about, you know, saving. They're not interested in saving Syria from al-Assad. They want to overthrow him. They have supported the rebels from day one. It was not a part of Arab Spring. It was something fertilized by the United States to get rid of Assad because he is a stumbling block to Israel taking the area of the Middle East. So they're trying to make things just like now Egypt is, unstable. So that's why they're so upset about Syria, and the rebels who they thought could take Syria have not been able to. So we're talking about an empire. That's the U.S. empire. It goes and takes what it wants when it wants.
Hmm.
Yes, I have to say it. Just as king said it too.
Well, you're right. He did. There's no question about that.
Anti-war.
In fact, when he started talking like that is when he met his ultimate demise.
That's right.
I understand.
Right.
It wasn't about
the
bus strike or the garbage strike.
right.
No. There was a lot of things that were going on at that time that
that's right.
that he met that demise in Memphis, and A lot of it was his opinion on the war.
Right.
When he started segueing off of this, just the civil rights piece, you know, that was the last straw.
And how they were connected. Right, and how they were connected. You see, they were connected. See, they were connected.
Well, how were they connected, Ron?
Okay, they're connected because, first of all, the inequality of people is an oppressive state apparatus that makes people oppressed. To go to another country and attack it because you want its resources is a continuation of trying to oppress people in another land. See, you're oppressing people in your own country, and then you go to another land to oppress people in their country, which you're supposed to be sharing. You're supposed to ask to give and take. But no, you want to conquer it. Then you have what you want. You see, that's the connection. In other words, you're going to oppress the people in your country, and then you want to use them to oppress people in their own country, which is different from yours. You see the connection, or should I go further in trying to break that down?
Keep going. It's relatively clear, but continue with that a parallel of oppression and you know how it ties back to the war.
Oppression comes out of exploitation. That's the exploitation is the word for when I hire you as my employee, you make $10 an hour for me and I give you a dollar. That's exploitation.
Okay,
so now if I give you a dollar out of the 10, I have 9 left. Well, I take a certain portion of the 9 and I create a state apparatus. That state apparatus includes the police that are going to do my bidding when I think you are out of order. So I can impress upon you how to behave. See, in other words, I use my police to impress upon you on how I want you to behave. See, so the whole judiciary system is promulgated by me, who is the one who is able to exploit you. So when I can exploit you, I can dominate you. And if I can dominate you, I can brutalize you. And if I can brutalize you, I can murder you. That's where exploitation and oppression comes from.
That was well put.
Huh?
That makes sense. You'd have to make it simplest, in my opinion, just write it down and look at it. Oppression comes out of
exploitation.
And look at it almost like an egg.
Right.
You know, you've got this exploitation, and then inside you have this oppression that it's engulfing. This exploitation is engulfing the oppression, and it makes nothing but sense. But the thing is, because it's so foreign, Ron, and it is foreign, and you know the saying, things that we're not familiar with, we reject, we find humorous, or we find fearful. It's a negative emotion associated with it. And laughter can be a negative emotion because a laughter is often, and that's why these step and fetchings get a chance to, you know, get these roles of influence, because laughter is in a way suppressive, because it suppresses your ability. It's almost like a drug, alcohol.
Yes.
It takes you out of reality.
Right.
So laughter, people say, well, I don't know how laughter fits in with a negative emotion. Yeah. It does, you silly fool. You know what I'm saying? Because
right,
I've been in
right.
the classrooms, and I felt like saying it to some of my students who are seniors. I'm not talking elementary or middle school.
Right.
And, you know, I try to educate them to who they are and what's
right.
happening in
very
society.
Good.
And, you know, you got them back there flipping their lips and acting like
yeah.
all they need is the goo-goo eyes and the little, you know, white around the eyes like they had back in the 30s. So that I look at that, and that's just about as bad as the sagging pants, or worse. So we got to be careful, because, and I'm on a little bit of a tangent. I'll come back. That whole you know silly humor thing is very much suppressive of our abilities to cognizantly be aware of what's going on. So
right.
it's by
You're
so
right.
many means that this is we're being bombarded by those who are, you know, in control.
Yes.
And you know, in control financially, militarily, and
right.
through the media.
That's right.
And so I understand. I absolutely do understand because that's what occurs, those emotions which are of a negative source arise when we don't understand something, and it becomes a self-fulfilling kind of a thing. You put on more anger and more fear and more, you know, silly dim-wittedness, and that's a good way to describe the silliness.
Yes.
It's dim-wittedness. It dims our senses.
Yes, yes.
And that's, and I see that as part of the plot and the ploy that you're talking about of that exploitation.
Yes.
And then from there, the oppression is second nature.
Right. Absolutely.
Once you're exploited, it's like a drug.
Exactly.
You know, you on crack or heroin, you ain't
right.
thinking about being oppressed. You can care less.
Right.
But
exactly.
you are, and it becomes a easy control mechanism.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Perfect way to describe it. What you've just
mm-hmm.
done.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But it was just a takeoff on what you've said. That's why I wanted you to go further so I could. Understand
right. yes.
Better what you were saying.
Right.
So no, you've put the pieces, the puzzle pieces, all
yeah.
there in front of me, such
yeah.
that I could put it together that way. And I
sure.
truly appreciate that. And I know any listener
sure.
live or in the archives will get it as well. And they're going to have to think. And that's what you and I were having some dialogue about before, how, you know, you
right.
can try your best to beat the sense in a person. You know, they say beat
yes.
the sense out of you. We can try
right.
we could try beating the sense in a person. But if they've
right.
been so indoctrinated and they're so droned out through those negative emotions
yes.
of fear or anger or dim-wittedness,
right.
which I'm calling foolish silliness,
then
they won't get it.
Right.
They won't get it. But if you can break it down in
yes.
simplest form,
uh-huh.
even if they don't get it consciously, the subconscious is always at work.
Uh-huh.
And at some
Very
point
good.
In time, it's going to supersede. You can't avoid your subconscious. And now
right.
I'm speaking holistically from, you know, an Eastern philosophy of a fact.
Yes.
And you know, those in control, they've been knowing these things for years, and yet they want to try
right.
to, you know, call folks like myself, you know, oh,
right.
boy, these quacks, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, those, they say the quack watchers. But the truth of the matter is your subconscious, they've been working our subconscious for
yeah.
centuries.
That's right. Sure.
That comes back to that oppression.
Right, exactly, exactly.
We're oppressed and don't know it.
Exactly, we don't know it. That's right. Absolutely. We don't know it. We you know, we blame ourselves for not being better off, you know, or quick enough, or, you know, we blame ourselves for it, or still others blame their parents for it, you know, and not not taking into consideration of what the conditions were like for our parents. You know, I've heard some of my, you know, acquaintances blame their parents for their plight today, and I say to myself, I just wish I could get through to them to understand what living conditions have been like, you know, but it's hard because people have to be amenable to being interested in history and see these, you know, transitions in history itself and how, you know, past civilizations have lived and, you know, so, I mean, it's a whole thing. I mean, you know, because, I mean, when Egypt was, you know, at its zenith, its highest point, it wasn't known as a black country. It was just known as Egypt. You know, that's what it was. It's Egypt, Kemet. I think the name at the time was Kemet.
That's right.
So that's what it was named at. I mean, the concept of race was, no one knew anything about it. See, that happens in the age of exploration of the European finding the so-called New World in Africa and penetrating these countries. And, you know, the Catholic Church made it okay, gave its hand in accepting that they could then they could render into servitude all the people that they found in the New World, and you know, I mean, but you can't really attach that to race because you know your race is a myth, so you got to find another mechanism for attaching that to. And that other thing that it's really attached to is I want to take advantage of you and I don't want you to be able to come back at me. You see what I mean? I want to be able to take advantage of you and I don't want you to come back at me.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
You know I'm laughing. I have to tell you and the listeners because it reminds me of what Russian and, you know, you understand. Thank you. What he said to Obama when he was talking about disarming, he says, no, wait a minute. You're going to tell somebody we're going to get in a fight. No, give me all your weapons first. You know.
Right.
Because we're getting ready to, I mean, we're going to throw it down.
Right.
Give me the knife.
Right.
Give me the gun. Give me the chain and the bat. And by the way, give me all your other stuff that you got that I ain't got.
Right. Yeah.
And you just said that. That's what you just said.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It is. And it's not complicated. And we need to be able to objectively look at these things for what they truly are. Because we are a global society now.
Yes,
and we better get that straight.
That's right.
Get it straight. This is not about the U.S. If it was about the U.S., we wouldn't buy 90% of our products from China.
Right.
It's not complicated. I did say 90. I did not say 19.
Right.
19. I did not say 19. I said 90. We're about 88%. I mean, the statistics are frightening.
They're that high. I didn't realize that.
Well, outside of America.
Yes.
Okay. I'll whittle it back in more specifics and accuracy to say, if you take it outside, but of that outside commerce, the bulk is China. So we're like 88%. You know,
And look at all the industries that have left. Electronics.
Yeah. I mean, our motor vehicle industry, you know, you look inside them, the steel. I mean, right now we're just looking at a shell that was purchased overseas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's our biggest industry. Let's not make no mistakes about that. You know, you think the housing is, but our biggest, you know, we all know what happened with the housing thing.
Yes.
No, it's the automobile industry. So, you know, that's the bulk of the money. So, you know, and then I don't care who is on this line listening right now, but look at where the chair that you're sitting in was more than likely made or some component of it. You know, you may say, well, I got this from North Carolina. This is good. My living room. I'm sitting in my fancy living room suite, suit, set. Okay, so what about the fabric that's on that chair? I mean, this is serious business. So this country was sold out about 30 years ago.
You're right. You're right. So right. Because electronics left, textiles left, shoes left. I mean, and steel and the high-tech stuff, the, you know, internet. I mean, all that's been outsourced.
Yeah,
and
it's done. And
labor
service.
Is with nothing for it. I mean, you know, I mean, the auto industry going to China could have left a stipend, an ongoing stipend for all the workers that they got rid of. No, they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And all their blood... All their blood, sweat, and tears went into that labor.
Yeah.
Now they just move it where they can make more money.
This country
and while
was
they're
so
doing
out.
That, they're weakening their country internally. They don't realize it. They're weakening this country internally.
Well, I have to disagree with you there. I think they do realize it. I think it's the have and the have-nots. I really believe that they do realize it. I'm convinced, you know, when you hear, like, Obama was over in Russia for, was it the global 20, I believe, this time?
Right.
Countries?
Mm-hmm. The G20, right.
Yeah. So this is, they're making global decisions, and they're all coming up with agreements. It's like, well, the U.S., you know, somebody, you know, already sold this out 30, 40 years ago, so you don't have much to deal with it in this game. You don't have many chips, you know.
Right.
Now, if you want to borrow
right.
some chips from me, I'll loan you some. It's just like you and I and the guy sitting around when we were in our early teens, you know, playing cards or something and messing around in the backyard. Well, Daryl, what you talking about? You ain't got much to say about this. You know, you ain't got but about 50 cents. Now, I got $8.
Right.
So you ain't got much to say in this conversation about what we getting ready to do and go out and play.
Right.
And, Ron, what you talking about? You ain't got but $4. Well, John, what you got? Well, I got $15. So I got the bulk of what's going to happen. So I say that we go over here and we this is how we all do it.
That's
how it's rolling right now on a global scale. That thing was sold out. Man, you woke when you woke that sleeping giant, Reagan, man. Woo. Man, he sold this
really
country. This country was sold. He sold it.
Yep.
The country was sold. Believe me, listeners, the country was sold.
Yep.
Lock and sinker, or however the term goes.
Yes.
It was literally. The receipt's probably sitting somewhere in the White House.
Right. Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, and that's really where we are. So, folks, we just need to, you know, listen up. And I know there are those who say, well, Dag, if it's that bad, what are we doing? We should just go with the flow. No, you don't have to. It's still a government of the people by the people. I mean, it's okay to at least let it be known that you know what's going on.
That's right.
It's fine.
Right. Because the more of us that know, the more the greater the ability to conference with each other to make the change. Because that's what we need. Right.
Yeah.
To make the change. Then we can come together and use strategies and tactics to make a change. Because that's what
we absolutely. I mean, Walmart. Think about Walmart. I mean, there's a prime example of China being, that's the watchdog for China.
That's right.
And so as the goods and services go through Walmart, so that's the barometer for China as to how well they're doing here.
Yes.
That's the barometer.
That's
they,
right.
They go on their little magic window, and they open up Walmart, and they say, well, Walmart's up 10%. Okay, so we still got America. We ain't got to worry about that. How are we doing in Europe? Well, Walmart's, they're okay over there. It's just very clear. And you hear people say, I'm not shopping at Walmart until they get under this oppression.
Right.
Because they've been exploited and they don't even realize it. See, I'm coming back
That's
to what
right.
you were saying. And then they find themselves with no money.
Right.
Because they didn't speak out. And they say, well, I literally can't afford to get that calculator for my nephew, who has to have one, they're saying, in order to
right.
enroll in this course.
Right.
Walmart's got it for $45.
Right.
And everybody
right.
else is charging $90.
Right.
Now, I found one online I was able to get for $70, but by the time I pay for shipping, I'm just going to do this one time and go to Walmart. I really said I wasn't going to shop there anymore.
Right, right.
What?
You had to bend, right.
It's a bad
yes,
scene. That's the oppression that you're talking about.
That's right. That's right. And people
it's
don't
like
even
that
realize
frog.
That.
You just turn the heat up slowly.
Yep.
And they don't even realize that they're being cooked.
Right.
But we try to have programs like this just to stir the consciousness.
Yeah.
That's all.
And,
I'm not asking anybody to go out shooting anybody or breaking windows. Just
You're
stir
right.
your conscience up and maybe share the thought. And it'll
That's
germinate.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, it'll germinate because they're listening. Oh, they're listening.
Yes.
If you don't think they're listening, just stop fooling yourself.
Right.
They're listening to you, Ron. They're listening to me. They're listening to our neighbors. They're listening.
Right.
And I'm not looking to be a focal point. I'm just looking to share some knowledge.
Right. Me too.
So everyone. That's it.
That's
and
right.
until folks start talking, you know, nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
With each other.
Exactly.
With each other. And it doesn't have to be this vocal march.
Uh-huh.
You know, Gil said it so well. The revolution won't be televised. Next time,
right.
it will be live. It'll just
right.
simply be live. And folks
That's
are
right.
just going to do, not talk and show. I think those
That's
days
right.
are done, by as a matter of fact. I think that day of marching and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's done. Not in this age of technology.
That's right.
You know, it's really just about communicating.
Right, because that marching and all that is same thing over and over and over and over and over. And Bush made himself very specific. He called before, you know, the marching, the 12 million people that were marching against him going into Iraq. He said he turned around and called them a focus group. And
oh, yeah.
proceeded to do his bombing as he saw fit.
That's true.
Yeah,
he sure
I mean,
did, didn't he?
Focus group. Oh, boy.
Remember that? He was a piece of work. He,
yeah, boy.
Oh, my gosh. He came out. You know, they didn't
yeah.
like him in a sense because he just literally exposed them.
Right. See, he,
really
his
were.
Family is a member of the power elite.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's unique about him. His family
yep.
is part of the power
yeah.
elite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was the bad little boy that just did whatever he wanted.
That's right.
That's exactly
yeah.
what it was.
Yep.
And he truly did expose the regime.
Yeah.
And but I think it's all one party, right? You know, I've been saying that for 7 years.
Yes,
you've been,
it is one,
you know,
all one
supporting
party.
It
just has
it,
new
it,
branches.
Yeah, you know what I say, and been saying it for 7 years on the air. Left wing, right wing, it's one bird.
That's
and,
right.
And that really
right
is what's going
wing.
On.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly. They got together to make those bailouts, and the Democrats and Republicans were locked into each other to help each other out. One, two,
mm-hmm.
three, and the people be damned. The
That's
people
right.
be damned.
That's right. Everybody should have got a bailout.
Right.
I still stand behind that. I still say right. everyone should have got a bailout. Whatever mortgage or financial situation.
They had the tax money of all the citizens, yet they couldn't go back into their foreclosed homes. That's what was so despicable.
It was disgusting.
Absolutely despicable.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were now supposed to own those corporations.
Yeah.
Because they should have been nationalized, but they couldn't.
That's right.
because the banks rule the government.
I was wondering what you were going to say, Ron, because you know I'll hold you true. I was saying, okay, where is he headed with that? That's right.
That's what it is.
You told the truth.
And look, we had back in the 70s, Abraham D. Beam came into office and the country, not country, New York City went bankrupt. So in order for them to try to come out of that, the banks sent Felix Roy Hatton in to set up an agency inside the city government, and he called it Big Mac. The Emergency Financial Control Board was a part of the Big Mac. And that was a skilled banker by the name of Felix Roy Hatton that was giving the orders to the mayor. From the banking industry, he was giving orders to the mayor. The mayor was elected, but he came in and giving orders to the mayor.
Fantastic. Not too unlike what happens at the federal level with our president.
Right.
And it's pretty much happening at all levels.
All levels.
It's happening right out here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's happening in all these mom and pop towns. It's
right.
The same thing. You have a mayor.
Bloomberg is a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
The people had passed not a petition, but had
resolution,
yes, to have two terms. He comes in with his buying people out, and the city council allows him to run a third time. The people had voted that he could only run two, but he goes to the city council, buys them out, and he gets a third term. Who's running the show?
Yeah.
The people are not, because they voted against that. But it was shoved down their throats. Where is democracy? Democracy is in those who rule. Mm-hmm. For all the rest of us, it's dictatorship. And
then
I must go to a little further on this and say it's an oligarchy with fascist behavior. You close schools as you see fit. The hell with people. You want to move towards charter schools? The hell with the public schools.
Mm.
You see? Cop kills an innocent black or non-white person and he walks free. Or he gets minimal sentence. That's oppression by the state. Oppression by the state. Sean Bell goes up to Holder, kicked under the bus.
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin, the fellow in the Bronx, Graham, I think his name. The policeman runs into the bathroom because he's in there, and he shoots him because he thought he had a gun.
Yeah.
He thought he had a gun. In Diallo's case,
they show you
a wallet they thought was a gun. A wallet. A squared thing. No gun is just squared. A gun is not squared. They thought the wallet was a gun. They fill in 51 bullets. And they walk free. That's fascism. State oppression. I want to get that out, because that's not just a feeling. That's something that actually took place. It's not my opinion. That's actually took place. And I think we both know about that.
Yeah. And I would suggest that, you know, the listeners do a little homework. This isn't a talking head program tonight, by the way, listeners. It's not. You have some homework to do. This is educational. You've got the archives of this program and last week's program, and it's a lot of information. And that's why we're taking our time. And I really am, as I said at the top, I'm just thrilled that Ron is able to do the series to compound on what he had spoke of last week, because it is a lot. And as I said, you know, earlier, a lot of it is new because we haven't been thinking that way. We've been droned to not think this way, in fact, regardless of your community and your race and your creed and your religion. You've been drawn to think the way that you're thinking. There are other perspectives of thought that you have a right to investigate and look into and find out for yourself if you find that it's rhetoric or heresy. But at least consider it versus just say, oh, they said I shouldn't listen to that.
Yeah.
What? That your enemy is telling you to beware of their enemy.
Right.
And you're going to buy into that, folks. So just take consideration of this. Ron, we're coming to the top of the hour, and it just goes oh so fast, but I wanted us to take our time. And, you know, I hope that we can continue this over, you know, the weeks and months ahead from time to time,
right.
And have
sure.
this discussion. For those who hung in here with us, just an update. You know, we've been trying to work on a few special interviews down the road. In addition to having Ron, we're getting very close to our friend Dick coming back, Dick Gregory. So that may be next week. That may be next week, and it may be the week after. So stay tuned for that, Ron. I hope you'll come back and listen in and give your comments when Dick joins us. But we have a few that will be coming back, and Dr. Joy DeGruy will be returning soon as well. So, you know, we're going to open this up as we go into the autumn of the year, when folks are hopefully a little more settled and not out, you know, vacationing and doing their things.
Right.
And they can, you know, get themselves educated and prepared, because, you know, there's a ship. And the question is it your ship? Is it coming in or is it going out?
Right.
And we can come up with some of the answers to that question. But, you know, you've got to be engaged in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ron, I thank you again for taking the time out. Of course, we'll be talking, and I'll be reaching out to, you know, determine when we can pick this dialogue up again. I don't want to see a month go by and we haven't revisited this. I like to canvas my listeners. Of course, every week I send a broadcast out to hundreds and hundreds across the country. We even have a few international sites, and from time to time I'll just canvas you know, some of our listeners just to say, so what did you think? But every time that I've canvassed and you've been on, I get comments like very enlightening, very educational. I learned something tonight. It's not like I'm watching the boob tube and hearing about a new fungus on a tree somewhere. This is something truly that, you know, is life changing, And that's the kind of comments that I get, and that's what we're about. That's what we're trying to do. So
I can I give my opinion
thank you.
Now?
Okay. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Yeah.
For
well.
Me.
Well, before you go, though, our moderator and you know Cecil. Cecil and I have been together for quite a while now. Our engineer, and he, in his own right, is a critical thinker. But he wanted to have a comment for you, Ron, if
okay.
you will, if you would humble
sure.
him to do that.
Sure.
What do you say,
sure.
Cecil? What's your perspective?
Well, Ron, since you since we're canvassing, I just thought I'd throw my little two cents in. You are very, very informative, and I love
thank
the way
you.
You bring things forward with the facts. And you don't just make general statements. You bring names, dates, times, places, things like that. Stuff that you can go back and research, and it adds validity to the statements that you make here. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, did you give me a question? I didn't catch it.
No, I didn't. Oh, well, I was going to follow up with a question, but I was going to briefly let you respond in case you did want to respond. But since you asked for the question, here's the question. Do you remember the bankruptcy? I know you were not there, but the 1901, you remember the first bankruptcy that the country had?
1901? No, I didn't. Know, I don't know about that one.
Stock market crash, 1901?
I see. 19. No, I didn't know about that. No, I didn't. I have
check
to admit.
That,
no.
that was one that was caused by a banker.
Uh-huh.
J.P. Morgan.
Yes. Okay. I know that
wow.
there was a recession in the 1890s, and that's when they phonied up the war to go with Spain because they wanted to expand into the Pacific. So they have that war 1898 to take possessions from Spain, and they were in a recession with that. I know about that. I didn't know about specifically 1901 though. So you're informing me. I appreciate it.
J.P. Morgan and a couple of his boys
yeah.
that were bankers and also
he was very rich.
They deliberately caused stock market crash, you know, caused
uh-huh.
the New York Stock Exchange uh-huh. crash back there in 1901. And
uh-huh.
you mentioned something at the top of the show, and I didn't want to stop you on the road. You were talking about I think we were discussing entertainers and others and the people who have the means, and I think, and what was the other term you used, with regards to people who can, say, for instance, bring technology to the market. They have the know-how, and then the others who have the means,
uh-huh.
or the abilities and the means.
Right.
Back at that, in that same late 1800s, early 1900s. Again, J.P. Morgan at the center of stifling creativity, because he was the financial backer of Tesla, who had some of the most amazing technology. Even today, some of this technology still has not come to the market or come to the forefront. But
right.
J.P. Morgan pulled his backing because Tesla had an invention that was free energy. You
yes.
know,
yes.
in other words, you didn't need wires and cabling, which Carnegie and all the rest of these people who were in the steel industry. And these other guys who were selling their ores and stuff like that, rubber
uh-huh.
and everything, you need any of that in order to send free energy through the air. In fact, this guy had come up with an invention that he could knock several planes from the air over 200 miles away, and the same energy he could neutralize or destroy enemies without one single shot being fired just by using energy.
Uh-huh.
Now, these warmongers, you don't think that they would have loved to have capitalized on that weapon, but because it didn't cost anything but energy, free energy,
right,
they would not allow it to be done. In fact, his paper was pulled, you know, all of it, they called in all of his notes and everything, and he was in the middle of building this tower. I think he was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he was in the middle of building this new tower that that he was going to use for wireless communication. You know, because he was, yeah, if he had built this tower, he would have had cell phones back in the early 1900s. Or they would have been shortly to follow because he was in the wireless communication way back when. But they pulled his, you know, pulled his, J.P. Morgan pulled his fund. J.P. Morgan went into business with him, and he owned over 51%. I think they started with $150,000, which by today's standards would have been a little bit over $3 million. And they started... they began down this little journey together, financing Tesla's invention.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, J.P. Morgan had no intention of allowing any of his inventions to come to the market, other than alternating current, which is
right. Tesla's invention, right? The alternating current AC, right? Because before that it was DC, everything was DC, but Tesla is the one that pulled them to the AC, rotating current.
For which he died a pauper, and he didn't get any. He sold the rights to that, and didn't get anything, hardly anything for it.
Right. And what you're calling was bad too. Edison was also a great exploiter. I mean, he took people's inventions and gave them peanuts for it, and made it his own, and you know, really got off on others. He was another one.
He and Tesla had a parting of the ways for that very thing.
Right.
For that very thing. But that was an example, I was just going to say, of means meeting ability. And it seems that those who have means always profit far beyond those with ability. You mentioned, you guys mentioned the record industry. I think Daryl mentioned the record industry. And in the record industry, if you look back historically, some of the greatest music ever created on the face of this planet, the creators of that music ended up not getting one thing done for their creation, or getting very little for their creation at all. And that music still making money today. That is not now public domain, but even that is being utilized today. But they didn't get much of anything for their money, which is the reason why I respect Michael Jackson so much. He bought Little Richard's catalog and gave it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm. Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Those are the things that you don't hear about Michael Jackson. That is why I believe they smeared or attempted to smear this man's character, because Michael Jackson did a lot of that. With his business, he bought artists' catalogs back from the record companies and gave them back to him. But he also bought Elvis's whole catalog, and he bought the Beatles' catalog. They couldn't have that.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay.
Wow. There's so much to be said, Cecil. Thank you for that insight.
Yes.
Very, very enlightening. No question
right.
about that.
Right.
Well, to our listeners, you got an extra bonus treat there. And until next week, tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. And Ron, let me just say, give you one more good shout out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, double thank you, for you know, taking the time out and really showing, you know, the love that you have for for your people. And we're not just talking, you know, black.
Right.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about
our people.
Our people. We just
we're all our people.
That's right.
Yeah.
We just as an African race, if you want to get into a race conversation, you know, I know you don't have any problem doing that, neither do Cecil or myself. We can do that. We you know, simply put, if we want to put a quick synopsis on it, we just happen to be right now the focus.
Right, exactly. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
But we all in the same barrel. They just, you know, we just happen
that's
to
right.
have that focus on us, the beam, got the thumb on us. But, oh, believe me, they got their sights on everybody, anybody that's not
right.
in their circle.
That's
and
right.
so we, I know. And so we're just bringing this all the way live. Like you said, it wasn't until they said, uh-oh, we can't have these two parties trying to work together. We
right.
we can't do that. Next thing
right.
you know, they'll be teaming up and they'll be defeating our whole plan and purpose.
Exactly.
So, with that said, we're going to keep on keeping on, people, bringing it real, keep bringing it live. And to those who tuned in live, speaking of live, thank you for taking the time out to tune in to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. As always, you have a charge, because we're not talking heads, so your charge is to take one piece of information that you learned tonight and share it. And you probably had a whole bag. If every piece of information was a gold nugget, anybody listening would be rich right now. But we're just saying take one of those gold nuggets that Mr. Ron Crenshaw has shared with us of his vast bag of knowledge.
Thank you.
And share that with a neighbor, with a family member, with a loved one, and especially if you have children, educate them. Educate them if you love them, because this world is not going to be nice to them if they don't know what's really going on. So you
Absolutely.
Make sure that you tell a young person what the real deal is. And I believe at some point they're going to pull it all together, because we talk about them. We say, whoa, where's our young people? We're in the 60s. These were young folks in their teens and 20s and late 20s. And I do believe, though, when they come out, they're going to come out both barrels, both guns off the hip, no ready, aim, shoot, ain't no aim. It's coming right from the hip. But we've got to give them the tools to work with, because they've been bamboozled and hoodwinked up until this point.
Very true.
And so
very true.
It's rare that I'll do a three play, but like I said, that thing was resonating in my head today. I just couldn't get it out. So I'm going to close on misrepresented people. And remember, folks, you know, just in case you can't catch it, go to Google. Google these lyrics. Stevie was a master. I have to say, Cecil turned me on to this one. I mean, come on, 1942, you came upon these shores, 700 years educated by the Moors, 17th century genocide and the gun, Middle Passage blessed to market the Afrikaans. And then later on, he goes on to say, I mean, Stevie, genius, he goes on to say, 1969, black power's at the door, 1982, hip-hop was on the floor, 1992, gangsta crack prevailed, 1999, our colors filled the jails. I mean, boy, he was, I mean, and that's just what happened.
Yes.
That's what we were talking about, that subtle
that's
oppression.
Right.
Because
yes.
we came up with black power, and they went into their think tanks. And folks, if you don't believe there are think tanks in Washington, D.C. and other circles,
right.
folks, you are so far behind, and you're
yeah.
dangerously behind. There are think tanks that right now are thinking about what's going to happen to us, the masses,
right.
in the year 2020.
Yes, some of them will call the Council of Foreign Relations, the Heritage Foundation. Let's see if I can think of another one, because there's a plethora of them. There's a lot.
A plethora.
Right,
yes.
A lot of them.
Yes, if you think that was a coincidence, that in 69 we were talking 70, we were talking Black Power, and in 82 we were dealing with crack and hip-hop. That's no coincidence.
The Cato Institute.
No coincidence. There you go. There
okay.
You go.
Thank you and good
well,
time.
Ron, we thank you again. We've just been listening to the one and only Mr. Ron Crenshaw, political activist, humanitarian, inspired by someone that, as I always like to say, is truly
Paul
near
Robeson.
And dear to me, Robeson. Yes,
Paul,
we don't hear enough about Paul. And so, again, thank you again. We're going to close out. Just like we came in. Thanks, Ron. Thank you, Cecil. Once again, to our super engineer. As always, thank you, the listener. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Have them go to the archives. What we were talking about this evening is fundamental to our survival. Our survival as a people. We're misrepresented, but we can change that, at least here in America. So God bless you all. Look forward to dialoguing again next week. Might have Dick Gregory. Tune in. Take care, folks, and enjoy.
We have been a misrepresented people from back then until now. Just see my family tree. We have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people. Our colors fill the gym.